His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. And we see Matthew was a Jewish writer. He was a disciple of Jesus. And he wrote to the Jewish people. His audience was the Jewish people. So he wanted to tell them that Jesus Christ was really the Messiah, the chosen one, the sent one who came to redeem his people from their sin. So we see, as we go through, we see Matthew's account of the life of Jesus Christ. And people of God, let us listen and take heed as we hear these words. Last week we stopped at Matthew 11, verse 30, where Jesus said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus' doctrine, Jesus is easy and his burden is light. So we see, people of God, the law was a burden to God's people in those days. It was hard to keep the law, for no man could keep it perfectly. But when we come to Jesus, now, people of God, the word tells us that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So we are now living by the Holy Spirit. We are being led by the Spirit. We are walking according as the Holy Spirit leads us daily. And we walk in union with the word as we walk in the Spirit. So Jesus is calling us to take up his yoke, to take up his doctrine, to rely upon him, to rely upon the finished work at the cross. And let our burdens be light, because he has already bore the burden for us, people of God. He bore our sins, our shame, our pain, our inadequacies, our sicknesses, everything that was against us, he bore them on the cross. So we now must trust in what he has done, trust in him for our righteousness, because he, people of God, has placed his righteousness on us, those of us who put our trust in him, and he took our sins to the cross and gave us his righteousness. So we are to put our trust in Jesus, take up his doctrine on us, take up his teaching, because it's easy and his burden is light. So if we are being led by the Spirit, people of God, we will live this Christian life victoriously, because we are relying on the Spirit of God in us to live the Christian life through us. So we rely completely and the work that Christ has done at the cross for us, so we can walk by faith and not by sight, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the desires of our flesh. Let us pray and begin. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for what you have done and what you're doing. We thank you, O God Almighty, for bringing us here, O God, another Saturday evening, O God, to hear your word. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will illuminate your word to us, O God. We will come to know Jesus in such a personal way, O God, that we, O God, will cleave to him and find our life in him. So we pray right now that as these words come forth, O God, it will transform the lives of your people, O God, we pray. And those who have not yet known you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Jesus, that you, O God Almighty, will touch their hearts, O God, and bring forth that change. Father God, we just pray right now that your word will go forth, O God Almighty Lord, and bring forth, O mighty God, new, O God Almighty, fruits in your kingdom. O God Almighty, your people will cry out, O God, Jesus, save me. So we just thank you right now for what you have done and what you're doing and what you're about to do. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus, O God Almighty, that, O God, you will come forth, O God, and do your work in us that only you can do. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for illuminating the word to us. And we thank you, O God, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we go on to Matthew chapter 12 and reading from the New King James Version. Matthew chapter 12, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 1 said, "And at that time Jesus went through the grain field on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grains and to eat." In another translation, it says corn. So we see exactly what the disciples were eating. So they were hungry. So they plucked some grains, and this translation says, well, others says corn. Pluck some corn, and they began to eat. Well, look at verse 2. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.'" Look at it, people of God. These men were hungry, taking some grains and eating it. And these were the religious leaders now criticizing what they were doing, saying that they were breaking the Sabbath. They were now addressing Jesus, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But look at what Jesus said to them in verse 3. "But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those that were with him?'" Look at verse 4 of Matthew 12. "How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, not for those who were with him, but only for the priests." Did you not hear that? Don't you know what happened there? Jesus was saying. And we're going to turn and look at this account of David eating the showbread, which was given to him by the priest. 1 Samuel 21, 1 to 6. 1 Samuel 21, verse 1 to 6. And we're going to read the account of this. The word of God said, "Now when David came to Nob, to Abimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid when he met David and said to him, 'Why are you alone and no one is with you?' So David said to Ahimelech the priest, 'The king has ordered me on some business and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you. And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found.' And the priest answered David and said, 'There is no common bread on the hand, but there is holy bread. If the young men have at least kept themselves from women.' Then David answered the priest and said to him, 'Truly women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessels with this day.' So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread, which had been taken from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away." So we see, people of God, Jesus was just showing them and telling them this showbread was for the priest. It was sanctified and set apart. It was holy bread. But yet still, when David was hungry and came to the priest gave him this showbread to eat for he and his men. So we see, people of God, Jesus was showing them that doing good on the Sabbath and doing good on a day when it's set apart doesn't mean that you are not pleasing God. So Jesus was just showing them how to live, how to show mercy, and to be people who are compassionate and will do what is good even on the Sabbath. So look at verse 5 of Matthew 12. "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" So what was Jesus saying here? Jesus was saying that the priest on duty in the temple on the Sabbath day had to work. So people of God, remember that the temple, it was a 24-hour service those priests have to do. They take turns. So each and every one of them had their shift. So the Sabbath day was not left alone. That day the priest had to be in the temple as well doing his temple duty. So Jesus was saying that the priests on duty in the temple on the Sabbath day had to work. So that was also breaking the Sabbath. And they were what? They were guiltless before God. God didn't see them guilty because God is the one who has ordained for them to have that 24-hour service in the temple, people of God. So those that were working on the Sabbath, they were not guilty of breaking the Sabbath. They were guiltless before God. So Jesus was showing them that it is okay to do good on the Sabbath day. So we continue on to verse 6 of Matthew 12. Yet I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Jesus was saying, yet I am saying to you now that in this place, right now, you are seeing one who is greater than the temple. And people of God, we have to understand this word. Jesus was letting them know that he is that latter temple. He is the one that Haggai spoke of. In Haggai 2:9, Haggai was not speaking of the second temple that was being built at that time. No, he was speaking of Jesus Christ, the latter temple, the latter house. So we see in Haggai 2:9, the word said, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. Jesus said, one who is here is greater than the temple, than the physical temple that you are talking about. So the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says Haggai the prophet. The word of God says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. In this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So Jesus Christ himself is the latter temple. He is greater than all. He is the one who in him we will have peace. He spoke to his disciples. He said, in me you will have peace. I am the latter house. I am the latter temple. I am the one in whom you will have peace. I'm the one that the prophet Haggai prophesied about in Haggai 2:9. I am the one. The word said, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. So the glory of Jesus is greater than any earthly man-made temple. That's what the word was saying. And in this place, in Christ Jesus, I will give peace. In Christ Jesus, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So the Lord has given Haggai the prophet this prophetic word about his son, the beloved son who was to come. And he came and he stood and spoke to them. And he said, I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. The temple that they so revered, people of God. The physical place that these religious people so revered. Jesus was saying, there is one that is here now that is greater than this temple. And we see the prophecy fulfilled as Haggai the prophet prophesied about him that would come. The glory of this latter temple, the glory of Jesus Christ, shall be greater than all the temples that have been built, greater than Solomon's temple, greater than the temple built by Zerubbabel, greater than all. He's greater than all. And in this place, in Christ Jesus, we will have peace. So Christ, the word promised us that Christ in him, we will have that peace, say the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 7 of Matthew 12. But if you had known what this means, Jesus continues to speak, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. If you understand what it means to show mercy, somebody is hungry and you said, no, I can't feed them on the Sabbath. I can't take up the food to go and give them on the Sabbath. Then you don't know anything about mercy. You don't know the love of God. You don't understand it. So Jesus said, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So Jesus said, if you had really known what the scripture means, this was written in Hosea 6:6. But you don't understand what it means. You're reading the scripture, you don't even understand it. So that's what Jesus was saying. For if you truly understand it, you would not have condemned the guiltless. You would not have condemned those that are doing good on the Sabbath. So look on Hosea 6:6. The word said, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering." So the word of God was saying, I desire mercy. This is what I'm looking for my people to do, to show mercy to one another, and not just to come with our gift and our sacrifice to God. If we're coming with all these sacrifices and this gift to God, and we're not showing mercy, we're not showing love, we're not being compassionate, we're not being kind to one another, then God will not accept these gifts from us. We have to understand this. So Jesus was saying, you don't even understand what this scripture means. That I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Or you would not have condemned the guiltless ones. So they were just there trying to say that they were living the law, but did not understand who was there, who was speaking with him. Jesus himself, who is the word, was standing right there with them speaking and said, you don't even understand the word that you have read. You don't understand it. For I desire, Hosea 6:6, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. So we have to come to know God, know him, and have that intimate relationship with him. People of God, it's not about just going and doing our duties. It's not about just going and doing good works. But are we in a relationship with the King of Kings? Do we know him? Do we love him? He's calling us to know him, to have the knowledge of him. So he wants that, people of God, more than all the offering that we can offer. He wants us. So Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, in Romans 12:1, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. That is your reasonable act of worship. People of God, the Lord is calling us to understand that he desires us to come into that sweet fellowship with him. The knowledge of God. He desires us to know him more than all those offerings that we are bringing to him. And that was what was happening then. Those religious leaders were just doing all those religious rituals and not having a relationship with the God of the universe. They did not know him. They just knew about him. They revised the law and they memorized the law and would be able to recite them, but did not know the God who gave them the law. So people of God, Jesus was saying, you don't even understand. If you had known what it means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Look in Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8 said, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is what God requires. And sometimes, people of God, we find ourselves doing everything else than what God requires of us. So this Micah shows us so clearly, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? This is what he requires of us, to do justly. That means to show justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So Jesus was just showing them that God is calling them to come to that place where they understand it's not about all the gift and the offering that they are offering up to him, but it's about a relationship with him, to know God, to know him personally, to have the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. So we have to come to that place of knowing God and knowing it's not just about bringing our tithes and offerings into the house of God and doing all the religious duties that we are called to do, but God is calling us into a personal relationship with him, to know him personally and to trust him and to walk in his will, to be led by his spirit, and not fulfilling the desires of our flesh, to walk in the Spirit daily, to be led by the Spirit, and to know that we are his children, walking in the freedom that he has given us. So Jesus is calling us to know God know him for ourselves and not just think that our sacrifices that we make will suffice. No, he's calling us to know him, to have a little knowledge of him, personal knowledge of him, walking in that intimate relationship with him. Look at what David said in Psalm 51, 16 and 17. Psalm 51, 16 and 17, the word said, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering." Look at verse 17. "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." That's what God is looking for. That brokenness, that broken heart, broken before him, that contrite heart, repentant before him. People of God, the Lord is calling us to turn from our sins and to turn to him wholeheartedly, knowing that it's not about all these works that we're doing. It's not about looking for something else to do, but come into that place where we become more and more like Jesus. The Lord is calling us, people of God, to be conformed to the image of his son, to come into that deep relationship with him. So Jesus continues to speak in verse 8 of Matthew 12. "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself, is Lord even of the Sabbath. What was Jesus saying here? Jesus was saying that he's master of the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. The day does not have control over him, but he has control over the day, over what he does on the Sabbath. He is the one, people of God, who instituted the Sabbath. So he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is master over the Sabbath. The Sabbath does not have him under control. He is in complete control of everything. He is the one who instituted the Sabbath. All things were made by him, and all things consist by him. People of God, he made everything and he holds everything together. He is in complete control of everything. We must get that. We must understand this truth. So we don't allow things to control us. So Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, and he is Lord of our lives. So we rest completely in him. Look at what the word said in verse 9 of Matthew 12. "Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue." So we see Jesus was always going into the synagogue. So he did not say, "I'm not going." No, he would go into the synagogue on their Sabbath. Yes, and he would go and he would continue to read the word of God, and he would take part in all the activities that would go on in the synagogue on the Sabbath. But look at verse 10. "And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him." So these religious people now were asking him these questions, not because they were looking for an answer, but they wanted to accuse him. They did not ask him this because they did not know if it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath, but they were asking him this question that they might accuse him. But look on Jesus, people of God, as he answered them. Jesus did not say, yes or no, it's not lawful, no. Look on how Jesus answered them. Look on verse 11 of Matthew 12. "Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out?" So that's a question. Jesus answered their question with a question. "What man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Tell me which one of you will have that sheep fall into a pit and you don't go down there and lift it out?" Look at verse 12. Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus gave them their answer right there. Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? So we have to stop sometimes, people of God, and see, do we value the lives of people more than animals or things? Sometimes we put some animals and some things before people. So Jesus was saying, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So how much value do we put on a life, on a human life, people of God? How much value? So Jesus asked the question, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So God is calling us to understand what the Sabbath is and who is the Sabbath. Christ himself is our Sabbath rest. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And if we value the life of people, people of God, we will come to understand that people's lives are more valuable than that of any of our possessions. So the sheep was a possession of theirs, as Jesus was speaking to the religious people. And if that sheep fall into a pit, they are going to find time to go into that pit on the Sabbath and to pull it out. How much more this man who was lame and Jesus healed him? Look at verse 13. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the word said, he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Look at verse 14 of Matthew 12. Then the Pharisee went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Look at it, people of God. Look on the great miracle that Jesus performed on this man. This man was made whole. Yet these religious leaders were now plotting to kill him. To kill him for doing good on the Sabbath. So can you imagine? They were plotting to kill Jesus after he has done that good deed on the Sabbath day, healing this lame man. They should be rejoicing. It should be a time of rejoicing in the synagogue. This lame man was healed. But instead, they were plotting to kill Jesus who healed this man. So we see, people of God, there was no love in their hearts. They had no love for humanity. All they wanted to do was to show how great they were in trying to keep the law. But God is calling us to love his people, to show mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with our God. God bless you all. We'll stop here this evening, and we'll continue from verse 14 of Matthew 12 next week. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We pray that your word will bring forth transformation in our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus, we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will put what we hear into practice. Lord, we bless and honor and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful weekend and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings to all. Amen and amen. In the Lord is
love, reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.